In just a few months, the U.S. could be winding down its 8-year war in Iraq, pulling out all 46 or 47,000 remaining troops. With a strong militant presence remaining there, the argument has been made, though, and most notably by Defense Secretary Robert Gates, that the United States could stay, could be useful longer in Iraq. And that could prove to be very dangerous, especially considering what happened yesterday. It was the deadliest day for U.S. troops in Iraq in more than 2 years. Insurgent rockets hit a military base in eastern Baghdad, killing five American service members. Specialist Mark Waters recently returned from Iraq, and he describes for us what non-combat troops do there.
We still had IEDs going off, especially in the middle of Baghdad, where I was stationed for the last 6 months. We had car bombs going off at least every morning, and mortars going off at night.
John came in, got back from Iraq in December of 2010. He was in the Army, deployed to the Louisiana National Guard there. And John, what you just heard from Mark Waters, is that your experience in Iraq as well?
Yes, I'd say especially. I was on a convoy escort mission for the majority of the year, and what that meant is that we would have to take supplies from Nasiriyah in the south all the way up through Baghdad and Balad, way in the north. And before we were allowed, every morning we would get situation reports and updates on significant accidents about IEDs that were on the roads that we were hitting the previous night. And they'd say, okay, so we have this half-mile area. There were five IEDs found there 2 nights ago, so be on your guard there. Convoy last night took small arms fire up along Route Michigan, so watch the roads when you get there. Scan your sectors. So it's still very much the situational awareness that you have to run through. Is there's no illusion that you're not running down, you're not traveling down I-95. There are people out there who are trying to kill you, and you really need to stay on high alert because of that. I will say regarding the mortar attacks and the rocket attacks that happened, that it is kind of scary to think that this happened last night, because to me that yesterday morning, it's reminiscent of the earlier days in the war when even on the FOBs, when you were where you were supposed to be safe, that there was a constant barrage of mortar and rocket fire. That really did go down later in the war, so I don't think that this is a sign of things to come, but I'm sure the military is taking it very seriously.
Also with us is Joost Hilterman, Middle East and North Africa Deputy Program Director for the International Crisis Group. Joost, it sounds like people are right to be concerned about the drawdown in Iraq, that pulling the troops out of Iraq might be one of the most dangerous operations the U.S. has to face at this point.
Well, that's right, because the insurgent groups that are out there and that are carrying out these attacks, they certainly would like to send a message that the United States is leaving in defeat. That may not be the perception here, and it may not even be the perception in Iraq, but that's certainly the perception they would like to create.
So, John Kamen, let's talk psychologically. When you go from an advanced sort of territory holding mode in a country that you're invading, and the U.S. invaded Iraq and has been occupying Iraq, for all this time, and you shift to a withdrawal, I mean, doesn't that make you more vulnerable? Nobody wants to be the last soldier killed in a war that's essentially sort of over and in withdrawal phase.
Yes, you're right. At the same time, I did my first tour over there in 2007. It was a 15-month tour in Ramadi, and we were part of a police transition team. So we would train the police up. And I remember there was a running joke we had there, because this was 2007, that the same police we were recruiting were probably shooting at us 3 months beforehand. It's just we were paying them money now. And you could tell that by the way they were very confident handling IEDs when we spotted them, the way they knew the territory, the way they could identify insurgents, that these guys were people we had to be very careful around. This time, in 2010, you're much less likely to see these police plan a raid on a possible Al-Qaeda cell, and probably more likely to be trying to write a warrant to go after an arms dealer to make sure he was in line with their constitution and their bylaws, so that when they do bring him up to a court, that he doesn't slip and they don't let him go. So I will say we've come a very long way, and it is not the war zone that one might believe based on this rocket attack, and that it's something that we can all take pride in. But at the same time, events like this do demonstrate that the threat of actions, the threat, and that there is still an enemy out there.
That's John Kamen. Was in the Army, deployed to the Louisiana National Guard, served in Iraq in 2007 and in 2010. Joost Hilterman, with the International Crisis Group, you said that the insurgents might want to feel like they're sending the United States home in defeat. The ironic thing is that every attack on U.S. soldiers supports Defense Secretary Robert Gates in his opinion that there's still a U.S. mission in Iraq.
Well, that's right. But, you know, for Prime Minister Maliki and the political people around him to come to a decision to invite American forces to stay in Iraq is politically a hot potato. It's very, very difficult to pull off because there are many people who would immediately assail them for undermining Iraqi sovereignty by inviting an extended military occupation by a foreign country. So even if they would like American forces to stay, and from my own conversations with some of these people in Baghdad, they do want American forces to stay. They cannot say so openly.
Well, the militant cleric, Muqtada al-Sardar, has already issued, to a certain extent, some kind of threats if they were to invite the United States to stay longer past its mission.
That's right. He has said that. Now, the question is, would he act on it? And I think the answer is yes, but what would that amount to? And I think that calculation is currently being made in Baghdad, and we might yet see an initiative from the Maliki government to renegotiate the status of forces agreement. But I wouldn't hold my breath.
That's Joost Hilterman, Middle East and North Africa Deputy Program Director with the International Crisis Group. Also with us is John Kamen, who served in Iraq on tour tours of duty. John, one of the reasons that we're talking about Iraq right now is not just because of the rocket attack yesterday, but because we actually had veterans saying, why is it that it takes an American soldier's death before we remember that there's soldiers serving in Baghdad? Do you think that the Iraqi soldiers have been forgotten?
Well, you know, that's a tough question to respond to, because I remember when we were over there this past year, we all knew that the soldiers in Afghanistan had it way worse than we did. And it was really out of deference to them then and now that it's hard for me to really say that the attention needs to be back in Iraq and we're suffering too, because obviously what they're going through over there right now in Afghanistan is something that needs to be on all of Americans' minds. However, at the same time, I remember August 19th, 2010 very vividly, because that was the day that supposedly the last combat brigade pulled out of Iraq, and there was kind of this belief that that signified the end of combat operations in Iraq. And that same day, some good friends of mine got struck by an IED going down the road during security operation. So it's very frustrating sometimes to think that there might be some people out there outside of Iraq who are patting themselves on the back saying that we did it and that we have victory. When in fact, there's still soldiers serving.
Yeah. John Kamen in the Army, served in Iraq twice. Joost Hilterman with the International Crisis Group. Thank you both.